Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I tried to get somebody from Cleveland on to talk about this game. I efforted a couple of guys that are on the fan over there, particularly the two guys on their morning show, but apparently nobody wanted to come on and talk about it. I didn't even get a text back from one of the two guys. I find that a little bit weird. I don't think it is a foregone conclusion how this game goes. I do feel good about the Steelers winning, but these games are never as easy as they appear on the surface. I would like a nice easy win at some point, but that's not really the Steelers' style. Donnie Football with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight until 7:30. We are leading you into Thursday Night Football. Eagles at Giants, 8:15 kickoff from MetLife Stadium. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. The Browns have not won a regular season game in Pittsburgh since the year 2003. And it was almost to the date, October 5, 2003, the Browns won 33-13. We'll get into this game plenty. I want to get your thoughts on this game at 412-928-9370. We will get into a little bit of the Major League Baseball playoffs going on. We will get into a little bit of hockey talk as well. The Penguins' home opener is tonight. We don't have a ton of time together, but let's make the most of it, folks. And when I say we, I am talking about myself and Joel Nelson, who is with me behind the glass. He will be the man screening your calls at 412-928-9370. I want to get your feel on this matchup. It has been over 22 years since the Steelers have lost a regular season home game against the Cleveland Browns. They lost that playoff game back in the COVID season of 2020, the last time the Steelers won the AFC North. But regular season-wise, it has been one time since 2003. And I like the Steelers here. I like them in their next two games, in fact, as things are really starting to turn in their favor. Joel, are you aware of who some of the Browns players were in that game in 2003? I know that you're a couple of years younger than me, so you may not have been at that point in time really cognizant of who was on some of these teams. Because I think in 2003, you were probably only like 5 years old, October of 03. But the Browns came into Pittsburgh. I believe it was a Sunday night football game, and they blew the Steelers out. They beat them by 20 points in the game.
Well, was Tim Couch still the quarterback for them at the time?
Tim Couch was their starter. 20 of 25, 208, two touchdowns and a pick in that game.
Was former Penn State Nittany Lion Courtney Brown with the Browns at that time?
Oh, I don't think
I should know this.
I don't think he was
because he was a first overall pick, but
I don't think he was still there. They
otherwise, I don't know how many other Browns
they still had.
Get.
They still had the two guys named Andre Davis, where they had the full name on the back of the jersey. Oh, Courtney Brown was on this team. Good call, Joel. He had three tackles in the game.
Was Andy Lee their punter? I know he played forever in the NFL and was with the Browns at some point.
No,
might have been before his time, though.
Yeah, funny enough, the punter in this game for Cleveland, he would be one of the names that would cross the Rubicon of Steelers and Browns. It was Chris Gardocki.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the bully in the movie Step Brothers. Chris Gardocki was the Browns punter. He punted four times in that game. Phil Dawson was their kicker. Dennis Northcutt, who was a pain in the ass. Quincy Morgan, who would eventually be a Steeler, was in that game. William Green, who once fought Joey Porter before a game in Cleveland. He ran for 115 on that night. That's the last time that the Browns won a regular season game in Pittsburgh. And I know it's history for a reason, and it's been so long since they've been able to do it. So why would this time be any different? I don't know if it will. I don't think it will. I still think the Steelers are the better team going into this game. The Browns pose some threats, but I think that's just about it. And you can share your feeling on it at 412-928-9370. I was also watching an old game today, as I am prone to do, leading up to our show in the afternoon. And Joel, you happened to be back there for a little bit of it because we did have a meeting today around 11 o'clock. I had the classic 2002 AFC wildcard game on, which was technically January of 2003. First game I ever attended, I was sitting in section 217, the last row with my dad. And no, we did not leave that game early as we saw the Steelers rally from 17 points down in the second half and 12 points down in the final few minutes to win that game. But it did give me a feeling of something that we have missed for so long. Adam Crowley and I had this conversation earlier when I threw that game on. This will likely not be a Super Bowl season for the Steelers. It will likely not be one of those seasons where they host and win the AFC Championship game. But man, just simply hosting a playoff game, just having a playoff game in Pittsburgh in January would really hit right about now. Because we haven't seen it. I think the fan base needs it a little bit. The atmosphere needs to be back in Pittsburgh. And I feel like that hope has been ripped from us a couple of times since the last real feeling of that, which was the 2018 season. That COVID year, there were limited fans in the crowd. I think they allowed, 1,000 or 2,000 people in the seats, if that. That didn't give you a real feel, and that was actually the last time the Browns won a game in Pittsburgh, that 48-37 win for them, and the game was not as close as what that final score would indicate. There's still a long way to get there. There are still three quarters of this season to get through before the Steelers would know if they could host a playoff game. The road starts, however, on Sunday. And this is definitely not a must-win or anything like that, but it's an opportunity to start stacking wins. Two games in a row now. The Patriots and the Vikings, you get a bye week, you come back home, just your second true home game of the season. You had that home opener that put a poor taste in everybody's mouth, and the team has been pretty horrendous in home openers. The last 8 years, I believe the record is 2-6 in home openers, and just one of those came with fans in the stadium. It's an opportunity to flip all of that and really have the vibes going high. Go to 4-1. Enjoy watching the Ravens go to 1-5. The Browns go down to the same record. The Bengals likely to 2-4. They are a massive underdog on Sunday. The Ravens play the Rams, and they will be without Lamar Jackson again. All signs at least point to that. The Bengals play the Packers on Sunday. They are a 15-point underdog at Lambeau Field. It will be the first start for Joe Flacco in a Bengals uniform. That's the biggest spread in the NFL this weekend. The vibes would be incredibly high after the game on Sunday. 412-928-9370. Let's get to a call here. Bill is in Cannonsburg. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Bill?
Hey, I'm just we're talking about the Cleveland Browns and the Steelers matchup.
Yes.
It's funny because I'm an older person. I don't mean to be funny, but back in the day, like with the Steelers and the Browns, it was a classic matchup. Now it's like, it's not the same. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, I can agree with you a little bit there. You know, it's not the same. It's not the classic matchups of, you know, I would say like the 70s, which I was not around for. Joel was not around for. I've only ever seen highlights and heard stories from. It doesn't have the same characters that those did. I mean, even in the 2000s, when the Browns would have the occasional good year, you know, that 2002 season, they made the playoffs. They had the Steelers dead to rights in the second half, and then Pittsburgh came storming back. Joey Porter was a great player to have in those rivalries because he was always chirping. And he and William Green would always go at it. Joey Porter would be going at it with offensive linemen before games. Things would spice up. That would always add to it. I think that game in Cleveland, he spit in William Green's face and they started throwing fists and they both got thrown out. That's actually what led to James Harrison's first moment in a Steelers uniform. I think that may have even been the time where he body slammed that fan in Cleveland. I think it may have been the same game. I may be wrong. I may have to double check my history on that. Ben Roethlisberger, he at one point was the winningest quarterback in that stadium's history because they beat the Browns so often. And it's been very one-sided. I feel like it has been fueled by the fans for quite some time, though. I've gotten the feeling that out of the jealousy that you get from Browns fans more than anything is where the hate comes from. I feel as if I don't sense, at least on social media or even at the games, I don't feel as much animosity from a Bengals matchup or a Ravens matchup nowadays. They have had their heights for sure. You think of the Bengals in 2005. You think of them in 2015. Vontaze Burfict, a genuinely bad guy. A dirty football player up there with the dirtiest to ever play the game. Like a Bill Romanowski type player. Super talented, but would try to break everybody's ankle if they were in a dog pile. You think of that guy. You think of Pac-Man Jones. You can think of some characters from those Bengals matchups. The characters for Steelers-Ravens, those used to be battles, wars. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Haloti Ngata. The Steelers would come at you with Troy and James Harrison and Porter before that, Hines Ward. He and Ed Reed would always have some individual battles. I get that it hasn't been there with the Browns in the last handful of years due to the play on the field. Or I guess I would go back to more of the Roethlisberger era because I do feel like it's become more of a battle in the last couple of years. The Steelers have had troubles winning in Cleveland. Just like last season, that's been a bugaboo for them. That's been a tough place to play. Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, they bring something to the fire here. It's pretty clear that those guys don't care for each other. And it is always a personal one-on-one rivalry when they play each other. And both of them are much better in their home venues. The Steelers currently have a negative 2-point differential, and that has happily been pointed out by the numbers crews out there of why the Steelers aren't very good. They're winning games, and that's what matters right now. The Buccaneers have 4 wins. They all came on the very last play of the game. How much hate is that team getting? I feel like it's the opposite. And I'm saying that as somebody who loves Baker Mayfield, a former Browns quarterback, by the way, that they threw to the side to make a deal with the devil. They bring in Deshaun Watson. It has been a catastrophic disaster for them. And Mayfield, by most accounts, is the MVP frontrunner through the first quarter of the season. The Chargers, they've scored the same amount of points as they've given up, 98 and 98. And I've gone over this in the last 7 days. None of these teams are perfect, either by record or by the eye test. We've seen the Bills lose. We've seen the Eagles lose, a team that plays tonight. The North has gone 1-6 in the last 2 weeks, and the Steelers are the only team with a win. But there are a few things that the Browns do pretty well and why they are a threat. And I'll get to that in just a moment, because Sandy is in Squirrel Hill. What's up, Sandy?
Thank you for taking the call. I just wanted to let you know.
I don't know what happened there. He wanted to let us know something, though, Joel. Hopefully everything on the technology side is okay. I was having my own issues behind the glass earlier, thanks to one of our trusty monitors that seems to always freeze at the most inopportune time, so that was nice. 412-928-9370. That is the number to get involved here. You can hit us up on the fan text line at that same number, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Sandy wanted to let us know something, and then his phone cut out. So, Sandy, you can call back again if you want to, if you have that point you want to get off your chest. But anybody else out there, 412-928-9370. The Browns do a couple of things well. They do two things very well that also travel well. The defense is elite, I would say. They just made a trade. They swapped corners with Jacksonville. But even before that, they currently yield a league-best 4.4 yards per play. They allow just 3 yards per rush attempt, which is the best in the league in that category. They can also run the ball a little bit. Not tops in the league, but it's a threat. They have a rookie that can do it pretty well. They have a guy that has been able to run for 100 yards a couple of times. They, as a team, have run over 100 yards a couple of times and nearly a third time in that upset win over the Packers. Quinshon Judkins has 347 and 2 touchdowns on the season. He averages about 87 yards per game, and he averages almost 5 yards per carry. He had a lot of off-the-field issues, so it took him a little bit longer to get to the Browns than they may have wanted. But he's been a pretty good player once that's happened. And I think this team is more of a threat than we are letting on. I say that in the same breath, knowing that they have not won a regular season game here since 2003, and a portion of their roster was not even born yet. I also say that in the same breath that I think the Steelers win this game, and I think they cover the spread, which right now is like 5.5 points. I think this is a touchdown or more win, like a 7-10 point win. I don't think it's a ridiculous ask to see that happening, but the Browns will play this tough. It would be like a 20-13 game, something around those lines. Dillon Gabriel making his first start and his first true road start. He started last week in London, but now he comes to Pittsburgh. And Mike Tomlin also has a great record against rookie quarterbacks. That also works in the Steelers' favor here quite a bit. 412-928-9370. Brian in New Brighton. What's up, Brian?
How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
So I think one of for the past couple of years, I've been not really optimistic about the Steelers going in because it's the same old song and dance. This year, I'm a little bit more optimistic, and one of the big reasons is the pedigree and the youth in their offensive line. And one of the big things for me this year is that people really don't take into account, like, the lack of practice that the players get. And everybody always would say this was, you know, the biggest component of a team that hurts from that is the cohesion of that offensive line. And when you have a bunch of young guys that are developing and getting, you know, learning how to work together while developing, I think you might be starting to show a little bit of movement there. And I do like how they've gone to the big sets to maybe kind of put some makeup on that until it gets to the point where it's, you know, where it needs to be.
Yeah, Brian, I hope they keep using that jumbo package that they have. I know that it hurts players like Jonnu Smith, who they paid money for, Pat Freiermuth, who they paid money for, and that was a big talking point today, like what's going on with him and his usage. And Mike Tomlin was asked about that in his weekly presser the other day that I'll play here in a moment, but Pat has been disappointing this season, and now he's going to get his name thrown around in trade rumors, and hey, should this guy get cut next season if the current pace keeps up? Because he's on pace to have really his worst season in the NFL, and that's disappointing. Hard to put it all on him, but there is something to be said about making the most of the snaps that you are on the field for, and you know that special teams blunder that he had, allowing the block against the Vikings, that is going to be something that works against him. And he just has to find ways to impact the game if they're only going to give 10 to 15 snaps, maybe 20. Got to make more of an impact. But here is what Mike Tomlin had to say about that usage against Minnesota.
We have a certain personality, particularly when we play 4-3 teams. I haven't been bashful about that. That's why we drafted Darnell Washington. You can't play 4-3 teams with 250-pound tight ends. You can't. The weight class is in combat sport for a reason. And so when the edge people are 300 pounds, you better have somebody out there that looks like that animal. That was our intentions in Minnesota. And so certainly, as we move into divisional play in the next couple of weeks and we're playing 2-4-3 teams, chances are you're going to see more of that. It's unfair at times to ask guys like Pat Freiermuth and Connor to block 4-3 ends. That's not real realistic if you want to have a real good run game day.
Would that help explain why Pat has played so few snaps?
Well, I'm not talking about the totality of four games, but certainly last week the matchup component has a lot to do with how we distribute snaps at that position. When you're looking at 4-3 units, as I mentioned, you better have some big people in that C and D gap area.
Fan Hotline, that is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You are going to be on that coming up next, 412-928-9370. I see a few of you on there already. I promise I will get to you around the bend here. 412-928-9370. Just your feel, your thoughts going into this Steelers-Browns matchup. Will it be as easy as some people want it to be? I don't think it will. I like the Steelers to win the game. I don't know how easy of one it will be. The guys on the other side get paid too. I know that's another line that Mike Tomlin likes to use. But I want to get your thoughts on it next. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on Twitter at 937TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. Your calls coming up next. We'll get into a little hockey discussion and baseball as well, but I want to get your thoughts on Steelers and Browns at 412-928-9370. That is next on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through our Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. Do you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact info, and potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. Donnie Football with you until 7:30 tonight. That is when the NFL and Westwood One will take over and have pregame coverage of Thursday Night Football. Giants hosting the Eagles tonight. Kickoff at 8:15. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass, and you can hit us up at 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. I know somebody on the text line is upset we haven't talked about hockey yet. The Penguins do drop the puck in about a half hour. I believe it is a 7:12 puck drop tonight at PPG Paints Arena as they host the Islanders. It is their home opener. We will dive into some of that because the Penguins started off the season with a shutout win against the Rangers the other night. So we will get to that in just a few minutes, but we have some callers on the line, and you can join the queue at 412-928-9370 to get your feel on Steelers and Browns Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. Brian in Brookline will kick us off here. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Donnie. So we talk a lot, so just give me about 30 seconds here, and I think I can make my point for you. So we're always going to be in a game because of Aaron Rodgers. You can't just teach his intelligence. Yeah, the skills have diminished some. Father Time is undefeated. But as long as you have him, he processes things so much faster than anybody. He can see things. Yes, the physical ability is still there somewhat. But as long as you have him, and you can keep him upright, you have a chance to win a lot of games. And a lot of people, I don't think, look at it like that. How quick he makes decisions. It's just nice to watch having that after Kenny Pickett and everybody else since Ben.
Yeah, I mean, his football IQ is very, very high. I mean, it's off the charts. Like, his actual IQ of the game is off the charts. He's one of the greatest minds that the game has ever seen. That's why he's one of the great quarterbacks the game has ever seen. Brian, before you go, I have a very random question for you that I've been meaning to ask at some point when you've called in. There is a video that I used to watch on YouTube about a prank call of a Pittsburgh sports talk show, like way back in the 90s. And there was a Brian in Brookline that was featured as one of the prank callers. Was that you, like back when you were a kid?
No, I've never pranked. I prank my friends at work, but I have apps that I have them. Share a small story with you. I have an app that I can call you with, and it'll take down your Christmas decorations the day after Christmas. Like, I do different things like that and fire people up like that. And they have no idea it's me, but I'm sitting right next to them, and I send a text, and it's an automated text, and people go crazy. But no, it's not me, Donnie. I can't claim fame to that.
Oh, man, I thought I might have been talking to a celebrity there. Thank you for the call, Brian. Yeah, Joel, there's like an old video. You can find it easy enough on YouTube. It's like a Pittsburgh sports prank call video. I don't know. It's like a compilation of like 12 minutes. And it was mostly like public access shows. Not really, like, there weren't any clips from like the nightly sports call. It was like older than that. It like outdated it. I don't even know when the nightly sports call started. But I'm talking like mid to late 90s when these shows ran, and it was a poor guy named Ralph, and he was just getting prank called by kids. And there is one that is Brian in Brookline. And I thought, you know, the age kind of matches up. That was like 25 or 30 years ago at this point. And now Brian is a guy that's, I mean, I don't know how old Brian in Brookline is, but, you know, maybe he's late 30s into his 40s now. The age would, like, match up to where it would be like a kid prank calling a show, is what I'm saying here. Man, I really thought we had one there. I thought we had him. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. We're a couple of minutes away from that. 412-928-9370. Ryan is in New Jersey. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Donnie. I heard you guys talking earlier at 2 o'clock about the Freiermuth situation. I heard them going on, you know, one of the rants. And I realized I called you the other night and I bagged on Freiermuth. And I listened to it again. I felt stupid because I like Freiermuth. I think he's a good player. It sounded like it was some kind of anti-Penn State rant. I went to Penn State, by the way. I'm not a Pitt guy. But what you were saying about a lot of the hatred for, you know, was based on Kenny Pickett and Freiermuth being a Penn State dude. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, Pitt fans made excuses for Pickett when he sucked. Penn State fans hammered him too much when he sucked. So, I mean, that's pretty equal. So Freiermuth's going to catch strays partially because of Pickett. But what the thing about Freiermuth is, he's a good player. He's not on the right team. I think that's really what I meant to say, and it didn't come off that way. He really would be better on. That same call, I told you they've got to trade for a wide receiver. I still believe that more than ever. I'd prefer they trade for a defensive tackle, too, to kind of, you know, depth that out, too. But I just think Freiermuth, he just doesn't belong on this team the way they run it. And, like, I mean, if he has value, if you can get a fourth rounder for him or something like that, let the guy go. I mean, as I think Mueller said, he's not going to get his guaranteed money if they end up cutting him, stuff like that. So it might be better off for him, too. The last thing, because I'll throw the pens out there. If Jari gives up a goal gives up the first shot goal this time, it's going to get UGLY in that building. Trust me. So
I hope they would boo
there.
Ryan, before you hop off here, the guys brought up a team with Freiermuth earlier in the show. Yeah, they mentioned that. They also mentioned the Chiefs. I feel like if he was in one of those two offenses, he would look like a completely different player.
Well, I mean the Chiefs. I mean. The Chiefs got their own issues with Mr. Wood there, you know, on his last stretch. You know,
yeah, I mean, he's on his final legs, though.
Yeah, he's right. He's got a broken hoof, and he's about to collapse across the finish line. But, I mean, great career, you know, probably be a Hall of Famer. But at the same time, the Chiefs, yeah, definitely could use some help. It was the Rams, and it was one other team, too, that they said that, you know, the NFC team that would want him. I can't remember which one now off the top of my head. Oh, it was Washington. Whatever the commies. So
okay.
I could see all those, but yeah, I mean, please get the wide receiver too. Please don't pooch the ear. But anyway, yeah, Freiermuth would be a great trade candidate. I really think he would be, and it's not because I don't like him, and certainly not because of where he went to school is why I'm saying this. I just don't. Sometimes you're a good player and you're not in the right team. It happens a lot, and I hate when teams try to convince themselves that that's not the scenario. I think it's what they got going here.
So. Yeah, I think that absolutely happens, Ryan, and I appreciate the call. Some good back and forth there. I mean, when it comes to the wide receiver two stuff, it feels, and I don't know if it's just the people around the team, because I know that Ray Fittipaldo has said this, Mark Cabali has said as much, like I think they're happy with who they have. It feels like the Steelers are content with what they have at wide receiver. How much better is really out there? See, I don't know if I care for that excuse. Like, okay, maybe in the free agent market, there's not a ton out there that's better. But they can make a move that would better their room. I think the Saints have a couple of guys. Pony threw out his little rumor today, Rashid Shaheed. That guy's kind of a nice player. He's good on special teams. He only played in 6 games last season, but he had 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had over 700 the year before that with 5 touchdowns. Like, I don't think that guy is a bum of a player. He kind of came out of nowhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Olave, who I know has concussion issues, I feel like his name should get thrown around. Like, they're going to have to scour some of these teams that aren't good. I still think the Alan Lazard thing with Aaron Rodgers has life to it. That team's 0-5. He's not playing this week due to personal reasons, and, you know, hopefully everything is going okay in his personal life, but we know the close relationship that they have. Yeah, it's not going to be some monumental move, but I think they need to have something that bolsters what the current roster is, you know, currently made of. 412-928-9370. Another Brian, this one in Pittsburgh. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Donnie. Thanks for taking my call, bud. Hey, a little bit about Freiermuth, man. I think what Tomlin was saying with the blocking is absolutely part of it. I think part of it, too, is as fast as Aaron is getting rid of the football, I mean, Pat's never been a big run after the catch guy, more like how Najee would run, just bull people over. Plays hard, and I like Pat, but I just think the way the offense is just running right now with the quick throws, I mean, you'd rather get it in Jonnu's hands or throw it up to Washington. You know what I mean? And Pat seems to want to get down the field a little bit more. And I just wonder about the deep throw that Aaron threw to him in the opener, which, was, in my opinion, was Aaron's best throw if so far as a Steeler that Pat didn't hold on to. I just wonder if that would have kick-started something for them guys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Brian. I mean, I appreciate the call. I think that's something that is probably running through Pat's head. I mean, I do talk to the guy on a relatively normal occasion, but you have to think that play, which was Aaron Rodgers' best throw as a Steeler, I think that's an absolute on that statement. That play not being made, you know, did it put him in some sort of doghouse? I know he had a couple of catches after that, you know, later in that game against Seattle and then the one against New England. But you have to wonder if that's a build up here. And I know the blocking thing gets brought up a lot. I'm not saying that Pat is the blocker that Darnell Washington is. I'm not saying he's the blocker that Heath Miller was. I do think he's a little bit better in that aspect of the game than he gets credit for. A lot of people just love to throw the guy can't block. The guy can't block. You can't put him on the field. I think he's a little bit better than what fans want to say when it comes to his blocking. Penguins drop the puck in just about 15 minutes at PPG Paints Arena, the home opener for them, coming off a 3-0 win over the New York Rangers, coached by Mike Sullivan. Artur Sylov's had the shutout for the Pens that night. He started the opener, and it was already Dan Muse in his debut pushing the right button, and he was great. Sylov should be the guy that's in net tonight, if you want my opinion on it. And then, hey, maybe if you want to start Jari in that next game against the Rangers, you get a pretty immediate comparison point between how the two guys played against that same team. But already a different look at what this team was able to offer, a different defensive approach, which was nice, playing more to what they are actually good at. Sidney Crosby, even though he didn't register a point, he still will almost always be one of the best players on the ice every single time they take it. Outside of a couple of teams and a couple of players, Sidney Crosby will be the best player in the game almost every single time that he's healthy and he's out there, so he doesn't always have to register a point. And that second line that we didn't have a ton of faith in they end up being very productive. Justin Brazeau. I called him Justin Brazzers the other day. He had two goals, one of them an empty netter late in the game. Evgeny Malkin, who is very possibly in the early stages of his final season with the Pens, he had two helpers. Anthony Mantha had one on the empty net goal for Brazeau to make it 2-0. And then Blake Lizotte would eventually make it 3-0. That was a really impressive opener for them. Now, I say all of that while also going back to the discussion we had going into that first game. I'm very much okay, and I'm very much in favor and also rooting for the Penguins to be bad. That doesn't make me a bad fan. We've had this discussion about the Steelers in the past when it comes to, hey, should they have a bad season if it helps them out for the next 5, 10, 15, or maybe even 20 years? I would say yes. They haven't been a good hockey team the last couple of seasons. They've tried to make some sort of push for the postseason a couple of those times. But it's been 3 years since they've last gotten in. And I think it's in their best interest if they're not a very good team. Very much easier said than done. Why would a player like Sidney Crosby ever want to be part of a tank job? Why would Evgeny Malkin in his final season want that? Why would Chris Letang in the final season when the band is all together, why would he want that? I understand all of those points. But I just think giving them an opportunity to get that lottery pick, get that envelope that they have the first overall pick, and they take Gavin McKenna, that would build the perfect bridge from Mario to Sid to Gavin. So I'm still going to have that philosophy. Yeah, this team could absolutely be better than what I'm anticipating, what I'm hoping they are. I just don't really think that they are a playoff team. It's nice to see a couple of young guys play who will probably only be up here for a few more games before some guys get healthy. But I think the best chance this team has to be great again is to be bad now. And it does feel like the GM understands that much. The Major League Baseball playoffs going on right now. The Dodgers and the Phillies, it is a 2-1 lead, best of 5. Former Bucco Tyler Glass now pitching right now for the Dodgers. Joel, it just seems like every time you turn around, you see a former Pirates pitcher getting the ball. Yesterday, it was Jameson Taillon against Quinn Priester. Priester didn't even make it through the first inning at Wrigley Field. Oh, hey, he's replaced by another former Pirate. Nick Mears immediately came into the game for Milwaukee. I had to say, going into that game yesterday, I was more frustrated about Priester because he just feels like a guy they gave up on. They didn't think the guy would be any good. He wouldn't be able to figure it out. A lot like the guy pitching right now in L.A., Tyler Glasnow, who he usually can't get out of his own way in terms of injuries, but when he pitches, he's electric. The guy, if he was healthy for a whole year, he would be one of the first, I don't know, 5 to 10 names you see in terms of Cy Young.
Yeah, I mean, and that would be, if this is not the best pitching MLB, I don't know who is, because I mean, Glasnow with Yamamoto and Snell, that's a really good 1-2-3 power punch. What I'll say about Priester is at some point the Pirates needed to, and they still need to do this, is you got to trade pitching to try and get some bats. And so I think Priester, a while back, and this is, you know, what, last year or whatever, he was lower on the totem pole and someone you could probably afford to trade, and they end up getting Nick York, and hopefully he'll become a more productive player with the Pirates. But if I'm going to say anything to that regarding Priester, I think he was just so low on the totem pole. But yeah, it does stink that he's been fantastic for Milwaukee throughout most of the season.
Yeah, I mean, and Taillon at least had some good seasons here. I think it was 2018 he was objectively good. He had an ERA of like 3.3. He had a couple of shutouts, a couple of complete games. I mean, he had a good season here. He was just another player that got hurt a lot. Now, did they get enough back for him in a trade? They got a bunch of players. They got a bunch of prospects. I don't think any of them are still in baseball. And if they are, they are like the worst player on their team. I mean, it was a bunch of guys that sucked. So that part did not work out. But I think they did get what they wanted to out of Jameson Taillon. It just happened to be the guy was hurt like every other start. So that didn't help. But the dude had some good seasons in Pittsburgh. I don't want to completely shame them on that. And what Jason Mackey said today with us was not promising. He does not think they will give out a multi-year free agent deal to anybody. They have not done that since 2016. Are you aware, Joel, who the last guy was outside free agent that they signed to a multi-year deal?
Yeah, Ivan Nova, 2 years for 16, right?
Yep. Yep, Ivan Nova in 2016. 2016. 9 years since they have signed a guy to a two-year or more deal. That was an outside free agent. That's remarkable. 412-928-9370. Coming up, we get into a little bit of the Thursday night football matchup. Joel, he is a guy that likes to wager a little bit on these games. We get into some of the best bets, maybe put together a same game parlay that won't hit, and who do we like and why. We'll pick the game as well. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Temps in the low 70s tomorrow, a chance of rain on Sunday for Steelers and Browns. More to come on the Fan Evening Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan text line, you can hit us up there at 412-928-9370. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Penguins about to drop the puck. Home opener against the New York Islanders. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass as we have you for a few more minutes here. Joel, I heard that from somebody who I've had on my shows before who's at the Penguins home opener, which, by the way, we can talk about their new uniform combination in a moment, too. I heard that Tristan Jarry caught some boo birds in the introductions. Now, I don't have the volume on in here for obvious reasons. I'm sure that that's something, if it actually happened, they would not want to tweet out on any socials. But I have it from somebody that I would consider pretty trustworthy that he caught some boos when they introduced him. And Artur Seelov's got a big, big pop from the people inside PPG Paints Arena. And I put that out there on Twitter, and Eric responded and said, I did hear a few boos on the broadcast, and Seelov's got a much louder cheer. So that's a bit interesting. I kind of feel bad when it's like the very first game of the year and you're being introduced. I mean, we've seen that happen at Pirate games before. Bailey Falter, I think, got it very unjustly in the 24 home opener for the Buccos, all because people thought he was on the roster taking up Paul Skeens' spot. So if you recall that, Joel, the opener against the Orioles a couple of years ago, they introduce Bailey Falter, who really did nothing wrong except be like a middle-of-the-road pitcher who would eventually be pretty good for them that season.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he got booed. Yeah, Bailey Falter got booed.
And wasn't it the last Penguins home opener from last year when Matt Canada, there were those Matt Canada, the Fire Canada chants at the Penguins home opener. I think that was last year. Unless that was 2 years ago. No, yeah, 2 years ago,
Canada
yeah.
Canada would have already been fired.
Penguins home opener from two seasons ago is the one.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. Joel, we do have a football game tonight, Eagles and Giants, an 8:15 kickoff at MetLife Stadium. The Eagles are a 7.5-point favorite in that game. How are you feeling about this one?
I think that's the side to take, is Philly, 7.5. I know they struggled against Denver, lost that game, not a good second half. They struggled throughout the season to get A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith the ball. I think that's the recipe, well, on top of making sure Saquon Barkley gets the ball at least 20 times tonight because you know for a fact that he is going to break one. Saquon Barkley is going to break off a big run tonight. Anytime that Barkley faces the Giants, it is like cinema. Have your popcorn ready. So I would take Philly tonight for that game. Another thing, the Giants, Jackson Dart, he's got no weapons because obviously Malik Nabers done for the year. Darius Slayton is out for tonight's game. Wandell Robinson is their only receiver. Jalen Hyatt has done nothing. He's got no catches for them this year. So the Giants on offense, not a lot of pieces around Jackson Dart tonight. Jalen Carter is out for the Eagles, but I just don't think that's a big enough concern. The Eagles might lay, I don't know, 30 on New York, and the Giants may not even get the 20. So Philly all the way.
Oh, man. See, I'm kind of feeling the Giants here. And I was oddly on it last Thursday, Joel. It was another big spread, divisional matchup, and everything looked the other way from where the, you know, like where everything was going with the 49ers. They had so many injuries stacked up against them. They really didn't have a receiver. Kendrick Bourne ends up having like 150 yards in the game. Mac Jones, who, by the way, I think is very close to permanently taking over for Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, who was like everybody's all-time favorite Mr. Irrelevant, I think he's very close to being benched by Mac Jones.
We could be talking about Purdy's contract being one of the worst in NFL history.
It's hard to take out Mac Jones right now, man. I mean, look at the way he's playing.
And think about once he gets those weapons back, Jennings and Pearsall, maybe he gets Brandon Ayuk later on this season.
Yeah, so, man, I think I'm going to feel the Giants tonight, plus 7.5. Your point about Saquon is a good one. But them missing Jalen Carter on defense is a relatively big deal. Joel, before we get to your little same-game parlay here, Shelby Cassesi has chimed in. Shelby used to do some shows here. She used to do great work with our news side as well. She's now at WPXI. She is in the arena. In regards to the Tristan Jari boos from the crowd, she said it was definitely a mixed bag. And Seelovs got more of an enthusiastic welcome. The people want Seelovs, Joely. The people want him. What happened here, Joel? Did we get a goal already? No, Joely? Dead air? What happened here? Okay, we did get one. Gino! I said Gino would get 25. This season, Joel, and maybe I'm not crazy. He is off to a hot start already. That's already 3 points for old number 71. All right, Joel, same game parlay tonight.
A.J. Brown, 40 receiving yards. Devontae Smith, 30 receiving yards. Wandale Robinson of the Giants, 25 receiving yards. Favorite individual bet tonight, Saquon Barkley, over 18.5, longest rush. Barkley to have a run of 19 or more yards. You're asking me Saquon Barkley to get a 20-yard run in a revenge game? Come on now. Absolutely.
And the folks could say, Joel, that you're on fire. Joel, tremendous work tonight behind the glass. Want to thank the folks who joined the conversation as well. Fan Twitter, you can find us there at 93.7 The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. Thursday night football is on the way next. Giants hosting the Eagles, courtesy of the NFL on Westwood One. That comes your way in just a few minutes right here on 93.7 The Fan. Donnie, football signing off.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.